Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates. I'm very pleased to be joined this afternoon by Sandy, who does an annual yard sale for the folks in Cantalumba. And we thought we'd have her on this afternoon during this Bridgewalk season because, as far as I'm aware, I think it's the longest standing annual fundraiser in the Sangha. Welcome, Sandy.
Thanks. Hi.
Hey. I was just thinking about that today. I think the only longer standing fundraiser is the Bridgewalk itself.
Yeah.
Which started?
When did the Bridgewalk start?
Yeah, the Bridgewalk started even before we went to Zambia. It started in 2000. Well, this is 12th annual, so help me with my math. 2001? 2002?
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah,
so,
because.
Yeah.
Sorry. I was going to say the yard sale started before we were in Cantalumba, actually.
Did it?
Yeah, because, yeah, to support, we were going to Zimbabwe, or
oh,
trying
my
to.
My goodness. So maybe they were the same year then. Started the same year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
say a little bit about that. How did it get started?
My recollection is that Sherry or got announced that we were going to, do this work in Africa. And it just spoke to me immediately. It was like, yes, I want to do, I had been doing various different volunteer kinds of things. And the idea of having it be in a practice context just lit me up. I just thought that was the best possible combo. And, it gave me a chance to be involved in something that just seemed so terrific to be doing.
Yeah. So it sounds like you'd always been really called to volunteering and serving and that sort of thing. And then having Sherry put out the call of, we're going to participate with this community in Africa, felt like, oh, my goodness, wow, this puts two things together, practice and kind of service and participation in that way in a really great way. So you just jumped right on board.
Yeah, definitely. And it was like, sign me up. And, I didn't know what I was going to do. But actually, at the time, I think the original thought was we were going to go there and build stuff. And I thought, yeah, I want to do that. And because I was kind of interested in alternative building and stuff like that. And, different. Of course, life happened and unfolded in a whole other way. So, but what really cinched it, even though I'd done a couple yard sales before, I actually got to go to Cantalumba. And then I'm just hooked. What can I say?
Well, I was thinking about this the other day, Sandy. You were there on that famous day.
Exactly.
You came with us before, actually, the project was officially in Cantalumba. We were.
That's right.
We had been to Indola the year before, and we were
assisting
some kids who'd come from a faraway village, and they'd come in to live with actually Teresa's brother, Ignatius.
Yeah.
And so we were just sort of getting our feet wet and feeling around for what's the project going to be and how's it all going to work. And it hadn't even occurred to us to be in Cantalumba yet, and we were there that day. And,
yeah.
I don't know if you want to tell your recollection of how it all went.
It's just one of my best moments in my life, I think. Just being in Africa for those 2 weeks with a kind of welcome from every single person I met. We were like such honored guests, it felt like, and yet it didn't have that feeling of distance. It just was heart to heart immediately. And then we were making this sort of field trip to out to Cantalumba, and it was, you've described it many times, it was horrifying. And yet there were these kids, just being kids. And then we were standing there talking. I mean, the kids were we had a box of raisins, I think, and each kid got one raisin, and you would think they'd gotten gold,
And it was a treasure, and there were dozens and dozens and dozens of them,
And the need, you could just see, and they were just in rags, and exuding that total life, living them, and jumping about and being kids. And I was standing there when the conversation happened, and it was just so clear that, yeah, that's it. We got it.
Yep.
And, you know, I don't even think 6 months went by before we were feeding 25 kids and the whole thing was off and running.
Yeah, and that, because Teresa, we didn't even know Teresa. She was just, she was Ignatius' sister, and we took to her immediately and thought to one of us standing there, thought to ask her, gosh, Teresa, I mean, at least for me, the need was just overwhelming.
Right.
You know, so the obvious question that just sort of bubbled up was, my goodness, I mean, what would you
do? Where do you start?
And she just looked at us. And not in a, you know, that was a silly question kind of a way, but just in the most matter of fact, didn't miss a beat, just said, well, I would feed them.
Yeah.
We all just sort of looked at each other like, duh.
And in fact, if I have it right, we were standing actually in the house she and her siblings grew up in.
Yeah. Where they know
when house is a big word, it was, you know, a crumbling shack.
Exactly. And we said, so, I mean, how would you do that? Where would you do that? And she would just, well, that's simple. I would just, you know, we'd have a big pot and a charcoal fire right out here, right here. I mean, where were we sitting? And you're right.
Yeah.
I mean, I think literally 6 weeks later, we were home and wired over the first funds for the first 25 kids. And, I mean, Teresa and team, I think a team of 6 or 7 volunteers came together, and I mean, they've carried it forward, you know, to 800 kids every day.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm having trouble rocking that, and it just seems impossible. And, you know, I'm privileged to feel like I'm a part of that, that somehow, you know, that I'm a part of that.
It's hard. You know, it's astounding what you and your community has accomplished over these many, many years. An unbelievable amount of money that's been raised for the project through yard sales.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm as shocked as you are. I mean, it just seems as miraculous as Cantalomba is from that moment to now.
That
seems like a miracle, and the yard sale is definitely a miracle.
And so, Sandy, if someone were kind of asking you, well, how did that happen? I mean, how did you guys, I know life made it happen, but you obviously helped it along the way. What are some tips you would give folks who want to jump in and do something?
Yeah. I think a starting point is thinking of some activity that you would enjoy to do. Like, you know, maybe it's baking, or maybe it's, you know, it could be anything. And I actually abhor yard sales, and I would never give myself a yard sale. I could never do it. It's my idea of a bad time. But when I'm begging money for that cause, I am having the best time. I spend about 10 hours on the day of the sale on my feet telling the story of Cantalomba, and it's just the most fun you could possibly have.
That is super fun. And from what I understand, things you've told us over the years, it's really grown. So now more and more people know about it and give you things, right?
Yeah.
Sell in the sale. And you've got a whole system for how you collect them and volunteers who come and work like crazy. And
Yeah, because I'm just one. Yeah. And that's part of the miracle. I mean, and a bunch of years back, I said, well, you know, do we really want to do this again? This is a lot of work and, you know, blah, blah. And everybody was like, you can't not do this, you know, because often I have those moments, you know, not that often, but where I say, or maybe conditioning says, do you really want to be bothered with this?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And,
but everyone else says, no, we wait for that all year.
Right. This is our favorite day, you know, and it's evolved. You know, we've made it more and more fun and less kind of like, oh, we have to raise a certain amount of money or, you know, I brought a lot of stuff to it. And over the years, I've been able to take a good look at all that.
Yeah. So it really is practice.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And I was, like I said, so excited at the thought of bringing this out into the world in a way, in a practical way, in a way that is living it rather than, you know, let's say just talking it or having it be our own little thing we do. I don't know, that was very exciting to me.
Very, very moving.
Yeah. It's been a huge, huge gift in my life. And, yeah, I just every part of it at, by this time. Not, I can't say that was true in the beginning because I had to face a lot of fears and things like that. But now every part of it is just a hoot, you know, and more and more people come in as a result of it and some leave. And here's an interesting part. Many, many people have no idea that this has anything to do with Zen Buddhism.
Wow. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Which I think is kind of interesting.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because it just is practice. It doesn't need to talk about practice. It doesn't need to, but it just is practice.
Exactly.
Yeah. So we're just about out of time, Sandy. Anything else you wanted to say about it?
Well, I think if, I don't know how it affects everyone else, because when we were there, we sort of started the whole blogging thing.
That was the first blogging here.
Yeah, and so now it's just turned into this wonderful thing, and when I know the team's going, I don't want to miss a minute of it, you know. And just if you read that, I don't think you can be indifferent to being involved, and especially because it's being done mindfully and skillfully, and with, you know, conscious, compassionate awareness. And, you know, I don't think there's anything better than that.
Wow.
So it's like, you know, just tuning into those people and those kids and everything is a huge goodness. It just feels great. And it's easy to take that enthusiasm and do something with it.
And it's, as you talk, I just see how it's such a win-win, because it's that love and that enthusiasm for those kids that makes us willing to go up against the conditioning we might not otherwise be willing to go up against. And in that, we receive such a gift. You know,
exactly.
Something that you were scared of and didn't want to do and all of those things is now a great joy to you.
Yeah, exactly. And it doesn't mean stuff doesn't still come up, but it's true that love and enthusiasm carried me through a lot and still does.
Well put, Sandy. Thank
you
so much for being on tonight, but also just such deep gratitude to you and your whole team there for everything that you've done for the folks in Cantillon. That's made a tremendous difference. So
Well, it was our pleasure.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Take care. Good night.
Yeah. Bye.
All right, Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Okay, great. Thank you, Jen. Thank you, Sandy. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael. How are you?
I'm good. I'm great after hearing that.
No kidding. What was going through my mind is, it's beginning to sound a lot like football. And, hearing Sandy talk about that, that was the best, because listening to that really is like being there, you know, just that kind of connection. And it's really true. Two things Sandy said that I particularly loved. One is the when I'm out there begging money for the kids in Cantaloupe, but I thought, boy, and that's it. You know, I mean, you just do anything to make sure those kids have a future. And then thinking about when Sandy was there, and those little kids are now, you know, they're almost grown. They're teenagers, and of course, Jen would probably know this, but how many of them were there in that original little gang around Teresa's family home, and how many of them are still there with us?
Yeah.
And with you know, looking at Sandy and Lynn and the other folks in San Diego, you know, there to know that your contribution has made it so that those children are still alive and they do actually have a future. They have a chance at education and they're drinking clean water and they're eating every day and they go to school and, you know, all of those things. It can seem like kind of a distance between a yard sale in San Diego and a bunch of people on the other side of the world having a future, but it's pretty darn direct.
Yeah, it's fabulous. It's fabulous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, really.
I'm kidding. Teary just listening to it.
Yeah, me too. It makes me want to have a yard sale, doggone it. You know, there must be somebody in our area having a yard sale. And I'm serious. There's just that feeling of, yeah, you just want to do something. Yeah.
Great. And I have an announcement here.
All right.
Just one announcement and a big one, and that is that today is the last day to register to get a Bridgewalk T-shirt and a lunch.
Uh-huh. You know, I signed up. Yeah, I know. I've been reporting kind of every week that I was going to sign up as soon as the show was over, and I never did. But I actually did after last week's show. And I was talking to somebody today, and remarking about how many more people there are signed up for the Bridge Walk than signed up for T-shirts. And this person said, well, you know, maybe they've just got too many T-shirts. You know, I mean, what do you do? And I think, well, for heaven's sake, it's not about having a T-shirt. You have to have the T-shirt of the day, right? It's not like we need T-shirts, for pity's sake. Nobody needs T-shirts. But you have to have the T-shirt for the 12th annual Golden Gate Bridge Walk.
Yeah.
And then, in my personal theory is, you need to come to enough retreats so that you can wear each T-shirt from your collection during the number of days you're on retreat. I think it's part of the whole, you know, the whole thing.
Yeah.
And then it's important to buy the pantalombas or the skirtalombas that go with your T-shirts so that you can have, you know, an ensemble for every day of your retreat.
Matching
colors. Lifestyle. Yeah.
Brilliant.
My theory.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Folks can still register after today, but after today you won't be able to get a lunch or a T-shirt.
Mm. And don't look longingly at ours.
So visit schedule.livingcompassion.org to register for the Bridge Walk. And a couple of reminders, our call-in number is 888-4-SANGHA. That's 888-472-6442. The show ID is 15406. And then you'd enter £1 or your PIN followed by pound. And as always, we encourage people to focus on one topic and about 5 minutes.
Right. Here we go.
So let's get talking. First caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Catherine from St. Louis.
Hey, Catherine.
Hi. Sherry, I wanted to check in, and also I wanted to tell you about an experience I had at the Transcending Resistance Retreat, which was a fantastic retreat. And
great.
One,
I thought so, too.
Yeah, it was. And what happened was that I just had a wall of resistance come up, which was very handy for the resistance retreat. And I'm really glad it happened. And it was very, very believable, really, really real story.
Mm-hmm.
And
the best
what
kind.
Happened, the very best kind. And what... what was kind of happening was I got very identified with the story and very caught up in it, and then would become aware that I was identified, and then would just kind of be with that for a little bit, and then we would have a workshop, and I would get involved in what we were doing in the workshop and completely forget the story. And so completely disidentify, and then after a workshop, then I would become identified again with the story, and then I would see I was identified. Anyway, I just kind of, that loop. And
Back and forth.
But what I really eventually saw was very painful, and it was very uncomfortable. But I was able to by the end of the retreat, I was thinking, you know, the very painful feelings and a lot of body sensations and a very believable story about why I had to give up Buddhism and leave the Sangha. And that I was just able to just sort of be okay with that. You know, while that was all going on, I was able to do the retreat, do the workshop, function while that whole thing was going on, and just kind of being aware. Usually I was aware that I was in it. And so it was just really helpful to me to have had that experience of having a sense of I can just keep on going and I can keep one foot in front of the other and do whatever is in front of me to do. And even with all of the stuff going on, I didn't have to let it control.
Uh-huh. Okay, so I want to catch up here because you're making a lot of really, really, really important points. So the first one is, I'm going to project because this is a good projection because I know it's true. You have a really solid commitment to practice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
And
so we could sort of frame that you know who you are and you know what your life is about. And what your life is really about is ending suffering, waking up and ending suffering, although you might not mm-hmm. think about it that way on a daily basis, but that's really what's going on. And so then all of this stuff comes up. So when we say identified, what happens is that you actually get pulled into a karmic story, into conditioned mind, you enter that world, and you lose touch with the rest of reality for a period of time, just believing the story.
Mm-hmm.
And at another time in your life, you might have, in that story, you might have actually left the retreat.
Mm-hmm.
But because your practice is solid, you just kept the schedule. And
mm-hmm.
so you went to the next event, and you turned your attention to what was going on in the workshop and got all involved in that. You didn't leave your attention focused on that story in your head. You left that, got with present time, and you disidentified from the story. You weren't in the story.
Mm-hmm.
Then you would leave that session of the retreat, and your attention would be drawn back to the story, and you would enter that other reality. But you didn't really enter it. You
mm-hmm.
saw that it was going on, and maybe
mm-hmm.
you touched in with it periodically, but you still were aware that you were at a transcending resistance retreat. You knew what the schedule was. You knew when it was time to eat. You knew
mm-hmm.
what was going on in real time, and you were also aware of what was going on in that story. And
mm-hmm.
and so in seeing that, in stepping back and disidentifying in that way, it wasn't able to control your behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
That's right.
That's huge.
That's right. It was very huge. And the next to the last day of the retreat, I was doing an assignment, and we were out, not in a workshop setting. We were out doing our assignment, and what dropped in was how all of that. I think the assignment had to do with, I don't want to give anything away.
Right.
Connection.
Uh-huh.
Let me say it. It had to do with connection. And
mm-hmm.
what my experience was, that everything that I had just been through is all perfectly okay, and it's all kind of who I am. Not that conditioning is who I am, but
it's the karma that you are here
yes.
to have a chance to see through, work through, and end.
Yes, and it mm-hmm. and it's all perfect, and it's all just fine.
Yes.
And I just had this deep sense of peace with it. I'm really grateful. I had the whole experience. It was extremely painful while I was going through it. And the story was an old story that decades.
Mm.
This has been a story that could pull me in. First there was the experience of, it's all okay. Everything is okay. And it's all perfect. And then what dropped in was that it's time for me to realize, that means make real for myself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Make real for myself my potential for happiness and love.
Mm.
And in that, and while there was not a resolution for this story, this piece of content,
yes,
it was like what, how I can respond to what I project is a lot of brutality and cruelty in the world,
mm-hmm.
which was what the story had to do with,
mm-hmm.
and then trusting life when that exists and all that, and
mm-hmm.
what the response was by opening my own heart.
Yes. Yes. You can be that difference in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was profound. And since then, since the retreat, then a lot of, different body sensations and fear stories or a sort of upset and all the story. And it's just like, okay, well, I know how to deal with this.
Yes.
It's the karma, and everything's okay, and I can just keep putting one foot in front of the other. The Learning to Love Learning email class just happened just perfectly, too.
Mm.
And, the timing on that has just really been supportive. So.
Good, good. Yes, so another point that I want to just underline from what you said, because sometimes this happens to people and they don't know what's happening. So you had this big breakthrough, huge awareness and letting go, truly letting go, decades of relationship with this particular karma. That particular karma is not excited to no longer be a part of your life.
Mm-hmm.
So, because you use the term controlling you, and that's
mm-hmm.
what it's been able to do for decades, is start you down one of these stories, and then it controls your behavior, and you give all of your life force, your attention and awareness to it instead of to you and life. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
It's going to come in and try to pull you right back into being that
mm-hmm.
person who lives in that karmic story. And
mm-hmm.
what you've realized because of the depth of your practice is, yeah, it's going to come back. Yes, it's going to try to do that. Same story, state and fear, same upset, same everything. But you know how to just keep taking step after step after step to move right through it. You have
mm-hmm.
the tools. You have the techniques. You have the practice. You know how to turn your attention to the life you want to have instead of going with that. And even though it continues to come up, you're really free of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I have a very different relationship with it now.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it makes me very happy, as I know it does you.
Mm-hmm. Well, words can't express how grateful I am to you. And
Well, let's say
to the Sangha.
Yeah, the Sangha, the practice. Yeah, yeah. Because, I know you know this, but I'm going to say it anyway. These teachings, this practice has been handed down generation after generation for thousands of years, literally thousands, because it existed even before the Buddha. And that, God knows, was long enough ago. And people have been doing this practice so that it can be handed down to the next generation, so that when each one of us reaches a point in our lives where we really have suffered enough and we want to make a choice to wake up and end suffering, it's there and it's available to us. And we can be incredibly grateful to everyone who has walked mm-hmm. that path to make that available to us. But we must never, ever forget that each one of us must make that choice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so it was there, but never forget that you're the one who found the willingness to take advantage of it. And mm-hmm. and through that, then you become one of those people who will pass it along to the next generation.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like Sandy talking about being in Cantawamba. You know, that gratitude that we feel for being able to be of assistance and the assistance that we receive from being able to reach out and offer. It's our whole deal for this quarter, right? It's the giving and receiving
mm-hmm.
are one. And
mm-hmm.
practice certainly shows us that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We're very lucky. Well, thank you, my dear.
Oh, thank you.
So
and,
appreciate it.
I'm the luckiest girl in the world. So
I'm telling you, I could argue with you about that because I am, but I'm going to let you have the title for right now.
Thank you, Catherine.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Catherine. You're listening to Open Air. Wow. That was
yeah.
a great start.
Yeah. Practice works.
Yeah, the gratitude show, the inspiration show, the three Kleenex show.
Right, exactly.
Wow.
This coming year is going to be the year of recording and listening. It just is. Because that's, I'm convinced, the thing that is making the most solid, tangible difference in people who are doing practice. And that, you know, Catherine and I didn't talk about that, but I know that that's a huge part of what has made a difference for her in her practice. And that level of transformation is available to each and every one of us. And there's nothing lacking in any of us. We all have everything that it takes to turn our lives from one of suffering to one of freedom and joy. And it's just a matter of doing it. And so it is. It's really inspiring to hear somebody talk step by step through, you know, this is how we do it. The recipe. Yeah, what she gave us is a step by step map for where we're going and how to get there.
Yes. Yes, and mm-hmm. what comes up as you say that is I'm remembering Ashwini and you talking about the meaning of the word Sangha, to walk together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
great.
Yeah, it is. What a team.
Woo.
Woo.
All right, let's break for an important message from our coaches program, and then we'll be right back.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
The year of deepening practice has produced a new support opportunity for people of all levels of practice. A team of Zen awareness coaches guided by Sherry Huber, who offer individual coaching to support awareness practice. This coaching program is designed to help strengthen the inner voice of self-compassion and peace, and places a special emphasis on recording and listening. Whether you're brand new or a long-timer, awareness coaching can be the extra support your heart desires. As the Buddha said, we must each work out our own salvation diligently. Zen awareness coaches can assist you wherever you are in your practice. For more information, visit sanghamarket.com. Look for the Little Zen Monk under the Services section. These services are offered with loving kindness to support those wishing to deepen their practice.
Welcome back to Open Air. And we have another caller, Sherry.
All right, I'm ready.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. This is Janet calling.
Hi.
Hey, Janet.
Hi.
You been to any good retreats lately?
Well, funny you should ask. That same awesome transforming resistance retreat I happen to be at as well.
Aha! I thought that was
so. Oh, my gosh. I just loved that last conversation.
I was right there.
I just loved it. I loved how she laid it out, and then I loved how you took it and really laid it out. You know, so it was just like this double unfolding of exactly what happens, you know, how it is. That was really good.
Oh, good.
So, and to say that retreat is amazing, and to have the Learning to Love Learning email class right after it was just, it just feels like Christmas. Weren't you just singing about Christmas?
Well, actually, it's Bridge Walk, but that's our version of Christmas.
The Bridge Walk, yeah. Really, really unbelievable. Just so much, you know. It's been a lot. So I had something kind of fun happen that I wanted that I saw. I had some trouble with my computer, and so I was talking to, you know, these tech people on the phone and trying to get my computer fixed. And finally, they set me up with this one guy as my major tech person. And he wanted me to take screenshots, you know, when the problem arose. And he said, you know, you might have to do some homework and some hunting around and kind of really looking. And then we can, you know, take these shots and do this. And one of the things that conditioning always loves to tell me is that I don't like to figure things out. You know, I don't like to, like, in other words, I don't like to pay attention to, you know, like, what's going on. You know, as per your conversation, you know, you just had, like, when conditioning comes in, when it takes over, all this stuff. And so I'm there for the last couple of days just taking all these notes, taking all these pictures. And I'm like, I love this. I love this. And that I love practice. I love doing that in practice. And it was... Last night I had a reflective listening buddy call, and it all just kind of came together. I was like, wow, I just saw something so huge, you know, that is not my story at all. You know, that conditioning story, so that I don't do that looking, but that snapshot, that screenshot to get it right there. It's like, that's it. It's there right now. That's it. This is what's happening. You know, and that's what practice is feeling like. It's like, oh, right here. That's it.
Yes. And what you're describing is thrilling for me, because it's capturing the attitude of mind and heart that we get when we are practicing. So that story, the story that so many people sadly live in, conditioning story, that, oh, it's hard and I don't feel like it, and it's just, you know, and then we really get here and we start paying attention and we feel the energy bubble up inside of us, and we're right here in this moment participating in this. No stories about anything else, just right here doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And it is so exciting, and it is so much fun.
Yes. And that definitely is my experience when I'm there.
Yes.
And it was just so much fun to see, to have it like play, because it could have been like, oh my God, this is hours doing this computer thing. You know, I've got other things I should be doing or I could be doing, and you know, blah, blah, blah. And instead it was like, oh, my God, this is Zen practice. I love this, you know.
And, you know, the other thing that it reminds me of, Janet, that anybody that we, you know, people who make music, people who write music or play music, people who sing, who paint, who write poetry, who write whatever it is that they write, who, you know, who do all of these, who grow roses or, you know, do these things that they love to do. That's the experience that they're having.
Mm-hmm.
right? That's the feeling. They're not doing that thinking, well, yeah, but, you know, I really should be getting those dishes done or finishing up that laundry or checking my to-do list one more time. There's just so much passion there. And
yeah.
It seems like it's content related, but it's actually just the thing that that person does in that lit up place.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter whether you're playing basketball or you're running or you're baking cookies. If it's the expression of how lit up life is, that's the feeling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, love that.
Mm-hmm.
Love that.
Yeah. Yeah. And even fixing a computer. When you're right
mm-hmm.
there and you let yourself get into it and you stop listening to those voices and there's just doing that, it's thrilling.
Yes, it's thrilling. And I loved the part where I really saw that I actually love doing practice where
mm-hmm.
I'm looking for, oh, there's the voice, or there's the, you know, oh, what's happening. And, you know, just
that's
putting all that together, it's like, oh, that's really fun.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I do think it's always fun. And whoever
yes.
says it's not fun is only conditioning.
Exactly so. And one other thing about that, trying to, it's not only not fun to be in conditioning's world, but it is doing what it's doing to keep us out of the place that we're talking about. So there were
yes.
several times today when I had kind of a boring day today. I mean, anybody watching would have said it was kind of a boring day. And there were so many occasions on which I was getting ready to do the most mundane little activity and a clarity dropped in about, you know, that thing that I talk about all the time, but it's the cord for the phone. And it's not a voice that's talking to me, but it might as well be. It's just
mm-hmm.
giving me that information about that thing that I was getting ready not to do. And it can be as simple as walking out to my car. You know, it's not life-changing or earth-shaking. I could have walked back into the house and done whatever. But the point is that it's always there. And what we're listening to instead of that literally moment-by-moment guidance of what to pick up and what to do next and how to approach that and an insight about how those two things go together and a clarity about that sensation and that thought, that's going on all the time. And what we're doing instead is listening to a repetitive from conditioned mind about any and everything other than being here where life is happening. And just in case people haven't heard enough about that, the joy that comes from being in that relationship with life that I was just describing is indescribable.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
It ends
I love
all
it.
Issues. It ends all issues of isolation, abandonment, loneliness, not feeling given to, not feeling like you don't belong, like all of those issues that karmic conditioning wants to keep us in dissolve in the face of that relationship.
And Sherry, would you say, so if people say, yeah, well, that sounds really nice, but I can't, my voices don't stop. You're just talking about just not focusing on them anymore.
That's
because they don't stop, right?
Well, they you know, it's kind of hard to say that. And I hesitate because you know, then they'll turn it into some kind of contest or comparison or that sort of thing. They do stop in the sense that if they are receiving no attention, they're not there.
Okay.
Now, I'm always fond of pointing out that the Buddha was practicing on the day he died, a very old man.
Mm-hmm.
So is that karma, will that karma continue to lurk there? Yes. Yeah, it will. And again, I like to compare it to a virus. So you can be the healthiest person in the world, but if you stop taking care of yourself, then the little critters that live in unhealthy circumstances are going to be right there to take advantage.
Right, and I've heard you say it's just like a feeding tube, too. You know,
yes.
When you put your attention there, they're just
yes.
feeding. Feeding
yes.
and growing. And
yeah, yeah. So,
yeah.
People who have been practicing for a while certainly know that hateful voices don't have the same relationship with us after a while, right?
Mm-hmm.
You just don't hear voices in your head yelling at you that you're an idiot.
Right.
And then it goes to a more subtle level, right? And then you get into you could have done a better job if you'd really tried. You know, that kind of, that sounds like your best friend, only you realize it's equally hateful. So it goes through stages and stages and stages. And the more we turn our attention to where we want our life to be, the more we are in the relationship that I'm describing, where there's a quiet and a spaciousness that allows to drop into the field of awareness, that constant guidance from life, from the intelligence that is animating us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love it.
Mm-hmm. And the experience that you were describing is a huge part of that. Huge part. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
So much fun. And thank you so much.
Oh,
love
thank
it.
Thank you. Thank you. Stay in touch.
Okay.
Talk to you
okay. Good night.
Bye. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Janet. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we're going to hear from our sponsor, and then we'll be right back.
All right.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide would you open? What would you sing if you gave voice to your beautiful heart?
This great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart, and one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air. We've lost the guide temporarily, and so we'll hold on until she's back on the line. Welcome back to Open Air, and welcome back, Sherry.
Did you miss me?
Yes, I did. Like, where's my friend?
I've been doing some fast dialing over here.
Well done.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. We got another call.
We do indeed.
All right. Thanks, Michael.
Sure. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
This is Debbie and Lillian.
Well, hello, you two.
Hi.
Hello.
How are you, gals?
We're very good. I mean, one of us should be sleeping.
That would be Mom.
You know, actually, maybe we both should be sleeping, but neither of us are sleeping as it is.
Uh-huh. So you might as well check in with Open Air and get her started early, right?
Exactly. I think we started her first week of life, so she's got a good shot of either loving it or hating it. One of the two.
Right. So how is practice in these circumstances?
It's really interesting. She's about 8 months now, and
oh my gosh!
Yeah,
wow.
So I've
that's amazing.
I'm just starting to go back to formal meditation because I was sitting so much for nursing that I wanted to exercise or do hatha yoga when I had a chance to do something other than sit, and I was using mantra and breath and posture awareness and loving that. And I mean, she's a very welcome disruption. It's not like I would choose to get all of my work done and get my perfect sleep and have my fabulous practice. And I do feel like the times where I can practice, like formally practice, it's great. It's like way greater than it was when it was more frequent.
When you could do it anytime you wanted.
Yeah, and I never did like mantra practice the way I've been doing it, and it just feels so nice to do it. And the breath, you know, my latest is focusing on the pauses at the end of the inhalation and the exhalation, but there are things I can do in conversation, in, you know, social circumstances with her, and it feels really grounding and really nice. It feels really good.
Mm-hmm. You know, of course, this is my current obsession, so I have to put it out there. The other thing that you two gals can do when you're together is recording and listening practice.
Yeah, well, I haven't done it, like, with her, but...
Yeah, you can do it with her.
What do you mean, with her? What do you mean?
Well, she is there as a witness to that practice.
So oh, I see.
Yeah, okay. So she's actually getting the benefit of all of that focused, compassionate, kind energy. So she would be hearing you... You know, talk about the things that are important to you, that you love, that you appreciate, you know, all of those things that we do in recording and listening. And then she would hear mentoring kinds of information and that sort of thing. And so she could spend a good part of her time just taking in the feel, the energy of that conversation.
Yeah, I think I'll try it tonight.
Mm-hmm. I think she'll like it.
Still awake.
Yeah, I think she'll like it.
I haven't done it with her.
Yeah, because there's nothing quite as soothing as mom's voice. And to hear mom's voice in such a centering, expansive, compassionate way has to be good.
Great idea.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great idea. And I think also at this point, I will do that for sure. I do want to say, I'm also starting to do more and more of my own thing, you know, apart from her too. But I like that. I kind of consider that as something apart. I also want to say, like, my husband and I, every time we're on a long trip together, it's just been really nice listening to all the archives. Of the radio show. It's been great.
Good. Another energy support for her.
Yeah. You know,
it's not the kind of thing that we are taught to think about or that we're encouraged to think about. But one of the things that people will say about listening to the archives, much like being in, you know, group discussion at a retreat or a sitting group or that sort of thing, is that just being in the conversation is centering. Just hearing people focused on practice is centering. And it has kind of a magical quality to it because people can be talking about anything. They can even be talking about being stuck or, you know, in a hard place or whatever. And the net result is when our attention is on that conversation, it's centering. And I think the same thing happens to little people, that they feel the nature of that energy in the same way that we do. And I suspect, of course, I'm never going to be able to know this, but I suspect much more directly, because all of their senses are so open, and they, what they lack is the interpretive element of karmically conditioned thinking.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I suspect it just feels good.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's centering just to be around her. It
yes.
really is.
Oh, yes. So. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. In fact, that's one of the things that I think is so, I think we talked about this before, in fact, but I think it's just so fascinating is that they become the entertainment. And that's a loose kind of a definition of entertainment, but you can just sit and look at them.
Yeah.
People. You just sit and look at them. They're just endlessly fascinating. And they're not doing anything, but there's something about the quality of their being that we resonate with at a really, really deep level. That's my theory.
Yeah, I think to myself, it's really too bad that she will not remember this time where she's so darn happy and makes everybody else so happy.
Yeah.
And then when she's no longer the center of everybody's world anymore.
Yeah.
Then she'll remember it.
Well,
no, it just seems so unfair.
Mom, you actually have the ability to influence that, because you can record that.
Yeah,
and at some
I've been
point,
journaling, but I think this is good, the recording and listening.
Yeah, I think I project at some point to be able to listen to that will be really important for her.
Hmm.
I was talking with somebody recently who lived her whole life in a story that her parents never really loved her. And for a big event, went through a set of pictures from childhood, pulling pictures together for this big event, and realized, looking at those pictures, that, in fact, her parents did love her.
Hmm.
So in that same way, to hear, what it was like for her parents to have her and to spend time with her and the difference that she made and how she was and what we project onto her and how happy she made people and all of those kinds of things.
Yeah, I've definitely never, ever been so happy. Never.
Yeah,
never.
Yeah. And it, wouldn't that have been moving information for you from your mother?
Yeah. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it does get dicey sometimes, these relationships.
And just to think, I remember the night I called you and was like, I don't know if I should go forward with this idea or not. And you said, go to sleep and wake up and you'll know what to do and don't look back. And it's been great. It's been exactly that.
And these many months later, there she is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good.
Thanks so much, Sherry.
Thanks for checking in. It's great to hear from you.
Always great to hear you. And thank you, Michael. Thank you also.
You're welcome.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Debbie and Lillian. And we have more callers here, Sherry.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. It's Linda.
Well, hey, Linda.
How are you?
I'm good, and yourself?
I'm doing fine.
Excellent.
Yeah. So I also have great things to say about the retreat and
uh-huh.
About it. It was wonderful.
Uh-huh. We had some great moments, didn't we?
We did. We did. And I want to say that I'm not eating sugar.
Oh.
And I'm not trying not to eat sugar. I'm just not eating.
Oh, I am so happy. Oh, my gosh. How does that feel?
It feels good. It feels really good. It's there's a lot of things around it, but it feels really good. I kind of think I want to tell you about what happened at the retreat when after we talked about it at the retreat.
Mm-hmm.
I had an amazing immediate backlash, like intense pain, anxiety,
pain.
A lot of energy, pain, like my body, like from my I often get this pain on one side of my body, like from my jaw down through my shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
And that happened almost immediately, like while you and I were still talking. And, you know, it made me so angry at EKC.
Uh-huh. The conditioning would do that to you and could do that.
Right.
To you.
So immediately, yeah. It was kind of an amazing experience. And it sort of helped with the whole getting it thing, because it was like, if it bothered it that much,
uh-huh.
you know, it had a big deal. So, I mean, not that I didn't already know that, but I don't know.
Well, but it's one of those moments where karmic conditioning overplays its hand and we can be really grateful. So that
right,
was just
exactly.
One of the things that tipped the scales for you of, okay, I've had enough of you.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, of course, now, you know, and one of the ways it was trying to get me then was, well, now that you know this, you should be able to do it to everything in your life.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah.
Or then it goes back and forth to, okay, now, or you should only do it with this one thing, but not,
uh-huh.
you know, not apply it to anything else. Just do it with this one thing. So,
uh-huh. Oh, it's
anyway,
just so full of advice, isn't it?
Yes. That's like you. Yeah. So, but anyway, I wanted to tell you.
Oh, I am so happy. I cannot tell you how happy I am. You know, it's like being let out of prison.
Yes.
The person has been wrongly imprisoned for years, and finally it all comes together. And they walk out into the sunshine.
Right.
Yeah, a big
cheer
has
the fact that I had process mastered, you know, I can, so now when I can feel that coming in, I can kind of recognize it and go, no, I'm not doing that. I'm just not eating sugar.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think about any of that. So it's just kind of amazing. The whole,
it is
how it, yeah.
Yeah, it's miraculous. It really is.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's like waking up from a really bad dream. And you know, once we turn the corner like that, the freedom just begins to expand. You know, there's a power that comes from realizing we don't have to be intimidated by that crap.
Right.
We can make a decision for ourselves and we can keep it.
Just do it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, again, I'm delighted. Thank you so much for letting me know.
Oh, you are very welcome, and thank you for the retreat and everything. It's wonderful.
Yeah, yeah. Keep in touch, okay?
I will do. Bye-bye.
All right. Thanks, Linda. Good night.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Linda. You're listening to Open Air. Sherry, we have about 5 minutes.
All right, let's try it.
Okay, here we go. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Michael, this is Anna.
Well, hello.
Hi.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thanks. How are you?
Good, good. Having a great time. You've probably heard the rumor that we just had a marvelous retreat.
yeah.
And you might have heard the rumor that there's another one coming up that you're coming to.
I know. I'm very, very excited about that. Mm-hmm. And also have my at the moment in a resistance retreat right in my own home.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
What's that about?
And so I don't mean that sort of lightly, like there's a lot of resistance in Wow Water Workshop, but actually, you know, today have had the resistance book out and put on the recorder the pages about losing interest in how I feel.
Mm.
And I've been listening to that all day, and through the momentum of that, propelled myself onto the call.
Into a call?
Into the call, onto the call, onto this call to talk on open air.
Wow. I thought you got a cold, and I was going to say, oh, the timing is really bad. But the call, that's good.
Yeah. That's a different thing altogether.
Altogether.
I've been putting that together with the part of the retreat in the back of the book around adequacy.
Mm.
And part of the assignment is to model for something that there's nothing wrong. And
uh-huh.
I had an experience today of, through recording and listening, being able to model for Anna that there's nothing wrong.
Oh, very good.
Yeah.
Very good. Because that really is the most important place, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, the rest of it is kind of icing on the cake compared to that. If we can do it for ourselves, then
yeah.
that's the deal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, and I've been watching around an issue, ego eye trying to maintain itself through I want to, but I can't. And then as life's been offering openings and the humans being saying yes to them, you know, faster than you can say something that doesn't take very long to say, watching ego eye switch to I can, but I don't want to.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
And isn't it great to be there to see it?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. And one of those things that, you know, I could have anticipated would switch, and yet when it happens, there's still a moment of believability.
Yes, yes, which is why I said, isn't it fabulous to be there to watch it? Because if we're
yes.
not there to watch it, it is really believable, even though 1 second before we were on the other side of the duality, when it flips us over into the other side of the duality, we forget that we were just on there, and now we're here. Now this is just as believable as that was a second ago.
Mm-hmm.
But watch that flip is really critical.
Yeah, yeah. And with the flip, seeing more about how the illusion of a separate self is maintained through, you know, looking out and saying, I am not that. And doing that in kind of two directions that I've seen. So looking out at something with the I want to but I can't, and saying about that thing over there, I love that but I'm not that. And to get from where I am to that, then, you know, I need to work really hard and be a different person. And so that's one direction of I am not that. And then in the switch, there's the I am not that with the direction of that out there is bad and, you know, needs to be kind of protected from and kind of dangerous. And I am not that, you know, that's something out there that's separate from me.
Uh-huh.
So it's the same I am not that with just two different directions. And it's just...
Yes, and great flexibility.
Right. Very
yeah.
useful.
I'm not that either. Nope, not
yeah.
that. Not that.
Yeah.
In fact, anything that you want to think up that's going to interfere with my control over your life, not that either.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And and we believe it. We believe it.
Yeah.
Right up until we see it do what it does. And then
right.
it ceases to be believable in the same way.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a great gift, isn't it? And, of course, I'm delighted to hear you say that that you use the particular tools that you use, the finding the information that you need to be reminded of, identifying what's going on. So what are the tools I need to encounter this? Then I record that, and I just start listening to it, and I don't listen to anything else. And and the clarity is there.
It's not
like you'll listen to that and then you won't be available for clarity from life. You are. It's what clears the space. Even though you're listening like that, there's still plenty of space for life to drop in the information that you need.
Right. Well, that was the experience with listening to that. And then the information dropping in of, oh, hey, we could call in to open air.
Yeah.
And just having that opening, the information to drop in.
Yeah. It's very good. Well, I'm glad you had a call and not a cold. So that is good news. So you'll be able to still come on retreat.
Right.
Thank you very much. What'd you say?
Thank you. I said just deep gratitude for Sangha and for practice.
Amazing
here on the call.
Good.
Okay.
All right. Thank you and good night.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Anna.
Kelsey, aren't we glad we used that 5 minutes wisely?
Yes, we did. We did a great job.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for being
here. Thank you, Michael.
Oh, thank you. Shall we do it about a week from now?
Sounds good. Talk to you then.
All right. Talk to you then. Thanks, Michael. Good night.
Okay, thank you. Good night.